All right, here we go. Ephesians. We're in chapter 2 today, and I read this. It's amazing sometimes Bible commentators, they get pretty excited with flowery language and things like that, don't they, Pete? And one of the commentaries I read wrote this. It says, Ephesians sets forth what no other book of the New Testament describes so completely, the nature of the body of Christ, which is the true church. And another one said, this letter, in many ways, is the crowning glory of the New Testament. So people much smarter than me have said incredibly amazing things about Ephesians. But basically, it's about the church. And when we're talking about a center and a building and what we're called to do, we're not worshiping a building. A building is just part of facilitating what God has asked us to do as the church, the people, to make a difference in this city. So that's what it's about. And in Ephesians here, it talks about the church being a body, and we looked at that last week. It talks about, and I'm going to go here this morning, and Lizzie's just, if I don't get to finish my message, it's okay, Lizzie's preached it. The church is a temple. Who's ever thought of themselves as a temple? You know, my body is a temple. I don't take in any junk, you know, that sort of thing. The church is a mystery. The church is a new creation. The church is a bride. And the church is a soldier or an army. So today I want to look at the church as a temple. And it says this in Ephesians 2, 19 to 22. It says, so now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all God's holy people. You are members of God's family. And I love, Lizzie just touched on this so well this morning. No longer strangers or foreigners, you belong. Who's ever travelled overseas, particularly to a country where you're of a different culture? And I remember the first time that we went to Thailand. And the Thai word for somebody who's not part of Thailand is something like Phorong, I think, isn't it, Ali? It's something like that. But basically it means foreigner. And so they've essentially called all the white people, you know, that were there in those days, Phorongs, because they are foreigners. And you know, in this day and age, you know, it's like here in our culture, you don't get very far with that. But I was just calling it what it was. And that's what they said. But you didn't feel like you belong, because, you know, first of all, there was a name like that, and it was a different culture. It was friendly. I like Thailand. Many of you do. But you knew that it was different to where you came from. But, you know, in the kingdom of God, in the church, in his body, he says, you are no longer foreigners or strangers because you belong. And then the next thing he says is, you are citizens. Citizens have a couple of things. They have rights. You all have rights as citizens. If you're a citizen of Australia, you have rights as citizens of Australia. If you get into trouble overseas, you can actually go to an Australian embassy, and even if they find you detestable, they will still try and help you because you're a citizen of Australia. That is part of your rights as an Australian citizen. We've got plenty of other rights. We've also got responsibilities as Australian citizens. We are to be, you know, responsible to our country, to our government, to our crown, if you like, as citizens of Australia. And some of you here would have... Has anybody here been to a citizenship ceremony? In other words, you were born overseas and now you're a citizen of Australia. Yeah, we've got Terence there, Mauricio, Delmas and some of the family there. And all right, Luca, isn't that cool? Janet, Gaynor, did you go to a citizenship ceremony, Gaynor? Really? Wow. So there you go. It's part of our nation, isn't it? So many people are like that. And not only were you embraced in that, but as part of that ceremony, you would have actually said, you know what, I'm choosing to be a citizen of Australia, and I'm going to take on some of the responsibility that comes with being a citizen. So, and Paul says, you're citizens of the kingdom of heaven. You've got rights in that place and you've got responsibilities in that place. And then he says, you are members. And I was, again, you belong, but what does a member do? A member also contributes. We spent most of yesterday afternoon down at the hockey centre, and we're meant to be there for two games, two half-an-hour games. We had one little fella, Kyle, who is 6 years old. He played three games of hockey on the trot. He plays in his age group what's called quarter field hockey. Eighth field hockey, is it? And then he goes up, and there was somebody missing in his brother's team, in Cody's team, and he fills in there. So he goes up and he plays quarter field hockey, and then they're about to start the next age group up of half game hockey. Cody is eight. He's worn out from one game, but no, Kyle. Kyle plays another game. He played three games on the trot, and. And, you know, I can boast as a proud father. And he contributed. He contributed strongly to all of those games. Even when he was playing two age groups up, he was actually contributing and he was making a difference. Now, you can be part of something and you can be a contributor, or you can be like Kyle's little team, and when they first started, he's sort of in the oldest age group, but some of them are kinder age or even younger. And it was so funny. Like, there was the first game, and there's this little fella. His name's Hamish, and he's about that high. He's got a hockey stick, and he's out there, and he's on the field. The ball's going around. He's just standing there. But he's made progress. Yeah, Alex is coaching the team. And he's made progress. It's all about the coach. And all of a sudden, a couple of times the ball went over his way and he went whack, even in the right direction. It was incredible. So he was a contributor. You see, when he started, he wasn't really even contributing. He was just standing there watching the world go by. But as he's got a sense of belonging, as he's known that, he actually starts to contribute. And in the body of Christ, we're not called to be spectators. We're not called to be stunned rabbits. Oh, what's going on here? We're actually called to be contributors. Together, we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles, prophets, and the cornerstone is Jesus Christ himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles, also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. See, it doesn't matter how rocky or uncertain things get. The Church of Jesus Christ is good. It's not going anywhere. You know, many of you have read the end of the book. It's not going anywhere. It's strong. It's solid. Everything has happened to us to try and bring us down. You know, we've had leaders across the church for thousands of years do silly things, but the church still stands. It's not going anywhere. It's good. The church will prevail. The church is built on an unshakable foundation. You see, and that was the revelation that came to the apostles and the prophets that Jesus spoke directly with and lived with and ministered to. That was the foundation that the church grew from. And then we hear this term, the cornerstone. And cornerstone literally means at the tip of the angle. And the cornerstone was the reference point to which all things would be measured. And in ancient building, and it's still sort of a bit the same today. I mean, if you even go and build a chook shed in the backyard, you will measure out, you know, the size and the shape of the foundation, and you'll pretty much choose a point to measure those things from and line it up square, hopefully, with that position and that place. And that's like the cornerstone. And in those days, they would place a cornerstone, a big cornerstone in, and everything was referenced and measured from that point. You see, in the church, Jesus himself is the cornerstone. He's our reference point. Everything is measured and connected to him. Take him out of it, and it's pointless. And if we don't have Jesus as the cornerstone, things go wonky and collapse. It's interesting, as we've been through a lot of social change in the last, well, probably 50 years, but it's certainly ramped up in the last 10 years. And you will notice that some, and I'm not going to call any particular one out because I don't want to do that, but if you look across recent church history and where different areas of the church have actually moved away from things that we would consider fundamental truths of the Word of God, most of those churches are not growing and are not reaching people and are not continuing. But the churches that have actually chosen to say Jesus and his truth is our cornerstone are the churches that are growing and reaching people and making a huge difference. If you're wondering about that, just go and do some research. You'll find it's true. So becoming a holy temple, what's that? What's the purpose of a temple? Well, a temple is pretty much just the place that God lives or the home of God. You know, when you come home from a busy day and you get home from work, or even if you've been away traveling or on a holiday, what's one of the things that you might say? You know, you walk into the house and it's like, oh, yeah, we've been away. Oh, it's good to be home. You know, the house can be a shocking mess and it's like, oh, it's good to be home. Because there's a sense where, you know, hopefully you're pretty much the same person at home as you are out. But, you know, when we're out, there's certain things, you know, we're still the same person, but we're a little more constrained. You see, if I sit down here and take my shoes off and, you know, undo another button on my shirt or whatever like that, well, I could do at home just to be more comfortable, you're going to look at me and go, gee, that's not so cool, is it, Dave? And you understand that. But if you came to my house and I'm sitting there like, yeah, you think, oh, that's okay, because that's your house. That's where you relax. That's where you are in that space. You know, and the point of it is that God himself wants to dwell in us as a temple, and he wants to be comfortable, and he wants to be all that he is, and he wants to be completely at home in that space. Fully relaxed in you, so he can be all that he is in you. And that's why he's calling you and building you. And individually, we are the temples of the Holy Spirit, but also corporately, as a group, we're also the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself. In other words, when you come into the kingdom of God, you're saying, Lord Jesus, that's about... And I'll tell you what, I could get off on a whole different tangent now, but if we want to be effective, we've actually got to understand that we make Jesus Lord. We don't mind being Christians. Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian, but he's Jesus Lord. That means that you're actually giving him headship, rulership, authority over your decisions and what you do and where you're called, and that enables him to build you into who he's called you to be. And that's often our biggest struggle, isn't it? And together, we are fully designed and joined together so that God can live with us in all his glory. And that, again, is a bit of a Christian word, but it's also in the Bible. But it means weight, power, authority, and brilliance. And that's what God wants to have in you and emanating from you. The church is a dwelling place where God lives. It's never to be an empty house. When we were away as a family over January, we got to drive through some spaces that often you wouldn't go. So we went all the way from the West Coast with a caravan on to a place in the northeast called Evercreech. And it's way up. Anybody heard of Methena? It's way up behind Methena, which is sort of between bit of a line, if you like. Draw a line between Fingal and St. Helens, and it's back up in there somewhere. And the way that we drove, we didn't go the easy way. We went sort of up around the side of Ben Lomond and through all these gravel roads and all that. And we're just seeing amazing scenery, places you wouldn't go. And you could see all these little communities and villages that perhaps once functioned, but because of the way people live now, there wasn't anything there to continue to sustain that community. And we saw lots and lots and lots of old churches. Because back then, every community had a church. And if you drive around Tassie, you will see, you get out into the country, you will see plenty of old churches in various states of repair and disrepair. And what's the common factor about pretty much all of those old church buildings? They're empty. They're empty. There's nothing going on in them, and there's probably been nothing going on in them for years and years. They're absolutely empty. The church is both the living place of God and His people. You see, those churches in our countryside are not the church. They're just buildings that once served the church. But in many cases, the communities that sustained them don't exist anymore. But sometimes I wonder if the people who attended many of those church buildings were temples of the Holy Spirit, places where God was comfortable. Perhaps some of those church buildings wouldn't be empty anymore. Some would be perhaps even vibrant communities instead of monuments to the past. I don't want to be a monument to the past. I just met somebody this morning. Martin's with us this morning. And I knew Martin when I was much younger. And probably sillier. Probably, we're talking over 30 years ago. And life goes and it unfolds, and I can look back over those 30 years and all sorts of things have happened. And, you know, I've had times where you know, you think, well, that was a great time, or perhaps they were glory days or all of those things. But I don't want to live the rest of my life as a monument to the past. But I want to be living vibrantly in the present, right now, not like an old church that was once full and is now empty. And I want to be changing the future. I reckon if most people here are honest, you don't want to be monuments to the past, no matter what stage of life you're at. Because, you know, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we're not monuments to the past. We are vibrantly in the present. You talk to somebody who is filled with the Holy Spirit and genuinely filled. I'm not talking about someone who's, I'm talking about, you know, the real deal, the real thing. And you just about always have a vibrant, engaging conversation because the Holy Spirit's in it. And that person, no matter their age, is not a monument to the past. They are right there in the moment. Again, reminiscing, I had a coffee with Kim Valentine this week, and Kim remembers all sorts of things, and we talked about stuff. But you know what? The conversation is still present and now because there is an essence of the Holy Spirit in that. And we want to be vibrant in the now so that we are building the future. And, you know, the father makes choice. Listen to this. This is a good way to think about it. The father makes choices about the house. In other words, you are chosen by the father. The father makes choices about the house. The son purchased the house. Jesus purchased all your rubbish and all your stuff so that you could be who you're called to be. And the Holy Spirit fills the house. So just think about that. If you want to understand, you know, you are chosen by God, you are purchased by Jesus and filled with the Holy Spirit. And those three elements is what it takes to make sure that you're not a monument to the past, but you live vibrantly in the present and you change the future. Right. Unless the Holy Spirit is residing in you, it's an empty house. And there are plenty of empty Christians around. People who have made a choice to follow Jesus but have filled themselves with all sorts of disappointment and stuff that goes on in life. It's actually, life's pretty hard, isn't it? There are plenty of things to get beaten up about. We've all been there. We've all been in it. It happens. But we need to make sure that there is room for the Holy Spirit to fill us. Otherwise, we become monuments to the past. Unless the Holy Spirit is residing in us, that structure or that cohesion, this is another one of these Bible commentators, it says this, that structure and cohesion may have for its, I will start again. That structure and cohesion may have for its scaffolding the sacred order of the church in her visible aspect. Now, you might think, oh yeah, a church like ours is not that sacred, but we've got things we do. But the cement is not these things. In other words, if you grew up even in a, you know, even in a more traditional church, and you understand the sacraments and the tradition that's part of that, and that's a security for some people. It's not bad, but that is not the thing that holds the church together. It is the Spirit possessing each saint for God and bringing them all together by articulating them all to their head, which is Jesus. As we've said, today is Pentecost Sunday. I want to finish with this right now. Acts 2, 2 to 11. Now, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a violent and wind blowing came from heaven, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And tongues spreading out like fire appeared to them and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven residing in Jerusalem. When this sound occurred, a great crowd gathered and was in confusion because each of them heard them speaking in his own language. Completely baffled, they said, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that each one of us hears them in our own language? Perithians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and the provinces of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, I'm not getting these right, Egypt, and parts of Lydia near Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, were hearing them speaking in our own languages about the deeds God had done." The gift of the Holy Spirit is promised to us. It wasn't just promised to those that call themselves Pentecostals. It's promised to anybody who can say Jesus is Lord. He wants to fill you. The gift of the Holy Spirit's worth waiting for. Jesus said, "Wait They waited for 7 days. Doesn't sound long, but imagine that. A lot of them in that room. A lot of opinions in that room. And they all had to wait in unity. The gift of the Holy Spirit comes as he wills, often not according to our own expectation. The gift of the Holy Spirit comes on individuals, but also on groups. You can see that in Acts 2, Acts 4:31, Acts 10:44. The gift of the Holy Spirit is often given as God deals with the flesh and there's a dying to self. Before we can be filled, we often need to recognise our own emptiness. What did the early church do? And I think it's significant that that was recorded for us to understand. You see, by gathering together in prayer and in obedience, they actually allowed themselves to be empty so that they could be filled with the Spirit. I think something we often battle with in these days is we want to really personalise that part of our journey, that we can be filled as we have an okay quiet time. That's important. Or we can be filled because we listen to good preaching or teaching online. We can be filled because we just make some space for God. Those things are all really important. They're all good things. But if we want to be effective, if we want to be a temple of the Holy Spirit as a church, some things that actually happen when we are unified, we're actually prepared to wait together for what he wants to do. And we're prepared to empty ourselves. I just want to give you a moment. Why don't we just take a moment to empty ourselves a little bit? What's filling your thinking and your space right now? Some of you are thinking it's 11:29. David, we're finished in a sec. Hopefully. Some of you are thinking about when those kids come out of kids' church. It's going to be crazy. Some of you are thinking about what you're going to do for lunch. What's happening in the week to come? Those things are all real, but let's let them go just for a minute. Let's let them go for a minute. And in a minute, I'm going to actually pray that we would be filled with the Spirit. I know quite often we ask people to come to the front and we lay hands and we pray for people. That's important. But right now, I just believe there's a sense where the Holy Spirit actually wants to come and just meet with us all together in one place and fill us afresh. Father, I thank you that you have chosen us. Thank you that your heart is towards us. Jesus, I thank you that you purchased us with your blood and everything that you had. Come. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill us. Fill us afresh right now. Fill us afresh. Fill us afresh. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are right here, right now in this place. I thank you that you are speaking to people. You are speaking to us collectively right now in Jesus' name. Just come and move amongst us right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you that right now you're actually moving into hearts where there's been disappointment, where there has
there has been an unknowing. Lord, I thank you that you're filling that space. You're filling that space right now with hope, with peace in Jesus' name. I believe there are people here right now, and you've been through a season of turmoil, and it just feels like, oh, am I ever going to get through this? And right now, the Holy Spirit is just meeting you in that place. And I can see in the Spirit that there is turmoil, there is disunity, that there is almost a dysfunction that is going out. As you let that go, that you are being filled. You are being filled with peace. You're being filled with love. You're being filled with understanding in Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. There's somebody else here right now, and you've been feeling a lot of pain in your body. And that pain is getting you down. It makes you feel depressed. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're filling that space. That your presence overpowers the pain.